Greetings, golf fans. Sports Guy Ty here. For the fourth time in 5 weeks, we celebrate a winner-winner fried perch dinner. Shallow Cal aced his test in first-round leader school and added a Cam Smith winner 33-1 at the Memorial. Lots to talk about this week with another round of news from the LIV Golf Tour, a check-in on golf's longest day, and of course, tips, picks, and best bets for Canada's national championship. Don't forget to subscribe and rate the show. Enjoy. Welcome, golf fans, to the Right Click Print Money Podcast. This is the PGA Tour Tips and Picks Show, making paper for the masses. Episode 59, the Canadian Open, and another week on the beautiful grind. I am your host, Sports Guy Ty, and with me this week, as ever, my esteemed co-host, T-Mac and Shallow Cal. Let's not waste any time, boys, because there's plenty to talk about tonight. T-Mac, your podcast sauce.
Tonight, I am looking at the Nirvana lemon butter.
Kurt Cobain approved, sort of.
Very much so.
this butter streak you're on, man.
Oh, you're right. I forgot the other one was what? Donkey butter number 9 or something like that?
Yeah, and then you got lemon butter number 34 and all this.
There's no number on this one.
Oh. Damn.
Looks good, though.
Sounds good.
All right, Shallow Cal, what are you sipping on?
I went back to the unofficial official beer of Michigan, Bell's Two-Hearted Ale. This time of year, you just can't beat it.
The unofficial official beer of Michigan.
Yes, sir.
Well, for the Canadian Open, I'm back on Labatt Blue Light, but I've got a Red Wings logo on the Tall Boy Pounder, not a Canadian flag. No Maple Leafs on this one, but I guess it is. Well, the little bat logo's got a maple leaf on it.
Yeah, those Red Wings need to step it up.
Oh, man. NHL lottery didn't do us a whole lot of favors again this year.
Yeah, no. Definitely not.
All right, well, we do have one winner-winner fried perch dinner to cheers this week. Shallow Cal, congratulations on getting back in the first-round leader winners column. Cam Smith, 33-1.
Yeah, we were looking for the Cam Smith first-round leader hit and then the Cam Smith win over the weekend. Unfortunately, the latter did not come through. But nice little first-round leader chop, returned some nice positive units on that, especially for having just the one single bullet first-round leader this week.
Yeah, always feels.
Excuse me.
Always feels good to hit the single bullet play.
Yes, sir.
We've been on a bit of a tear here recently as a podcast. Past 5 weeks, we've hit 3 outright winners and a first-round leader. T-Mac, 3 places for you, I believe, at the Memorial?
Yeah, 3 places. Unfortunately, all 3 of them are at the very top of my betting board. So, lowest odds. And unfortunately, they all chopped like crazy at place 5. But I hit Will Zalatoris at 28-1 with a positive 2.6 units returned. Neiman at 7.6 units returned. And Homa at 3.6. It got me a return of 13.8 units, but that's still a net loss of 6.16 units on the day. But that's okay. I am now up to 36 correctly picked each ways on the year.
That's a bunch of each ways. I hit myself a pretty nice each way this week. Only one place, but it was a big one. Aaron Wise, full place at 80-1, runner-up to William Ho this week at the Memorial. That returned a solid 17 units. Small win this week for me, but it was a positive 4-unit week on the card.
Hey, win's a win. I don't care if it's 1 unit.
You know, and that's kind of how it's been going for me here lately. It's been these small-ish type wins on an each way or two. I talked about it a couple of weeks ago on the podcast. It seems like all of my outright winners from last year have turned into second, third, fourth place finishes this year. But you hit them at the right numbers, and you stay consistent with it, and it builds a steady profit over time. Well, 29 outright winners for the podcast since we started hosting this in 2021. Now double digits with 10 first round leader winners, 9 triple digit places. So the next one there is also going to take us to 10 plus. All right, before we get to Canada's national championship, all kinds of news around the golfing world. Golf's longest day is today, but probably more pressing, the announcement from Phil Mickelson himself with his commitment to LIV Golf. A former individual national champion for the Ole Miss Rebels, Braden Thornberry, Monday qualifying for the Canadian Open. My massive Prism football case hit over the weekend. Storylines are endless, gentlemen. But let's start with Phil. Shallow Cal, a reported $200 million to lure Phil when he signed Saturday night. Worth it?
For Phil Mickelson? Absolutely. This guy is not going to make $200 million for the rest of his career on the PGA Tour. He gets that's a $200 million signing bonus, right? That's $200 million up front, straight cash, homie. Phil Mickelson is definitely not only making the right decision for himself, his family, future generations of his family, but it just confirms what we've known about Phil all along, and that he's kind of a jackass, and it's about the money for him. I mean, insider trading, all the good stuff that we'll hopefully read and learn about in Alan Shipnuck's book.
T-Mac, better get for Liv. Phil at $200 million or DJ at a reported $125
million? That's a good question. I think Phil Mickelson's career earnings in tournaments was about $94 million, so he's more than doubling that with a signing bonus. It's hard to compete with people that are throwing this kind of money and a country that is probably the richest in the world, and I don't even know why I said probably, definitely. That's a good question. I'm going to say DJ because I think DJ has some more good golf left in him. Phil's towards the end of his career. I think for Phil, it's a good grab. You know, same with guys like Ricky Fowler. I don't blame Ricky at all. Ricky is not the same Rick that we've seen. And actually, this might suit Rick better because how many times has he actually been pretty good through three rounds and then just chokes in the fourth? So maybe this will suit his needs.
Yeah, no, I can't argue with any of it. I think it's good for Ricky. I think it's good for Phil. I think you're spot on with DJ actually probably winding up being somewhat of a bargain for the LIV Golf League at $125 million. Right. The PGA Tour is in trouble because, as you said, T-Mac, deep, deep pockets in Saudi Arabia. This isn't the end of the seven-figure contracts that were
talking about this on the local radio station here, and they wanted to do horse racing in Dubai in the middle of the desert. They decided they were going to have a Kentucky bluegrass horse racing track, and they spent billions of dollars to get it, and it's actually competing and is now a legitimate racetrack. These are countries that their money is somewhat unlimited compared to local governments. And well, I mean, it's a government versus an entity, if you will. So I don't see how the PGA can compete with us. This is going to be very problematic, and they're probably going to have some kind of union here.
What do we think Tiger's offer was from Greg Norman and LIV Golf?
Yeah, so they reported it high nine figures.
I'm going to go ahead.
Cal tipped his number earlier. I'm pretty close to him. I'm going to go with $800 million.
I was going to say $750 million, $750 million dollars. That is, think about it. If you get Tiger Woods, those free tickets to this LIV Golf thing are gone in 30 seconds. You know, they're sold out. They're probably sold out within 10 minutes.
And all LIV has to do is make a dent. They make a dent, and that then they watch the cards fold. It's just like in Rounders, Matt Damon says, you know, take a small portion of their stack and the rest will start, you know, tumbling.
I'm not sure that there was ever a formal offer made to Tiger. And I think if there had been, the number would have been astronomical. What I think this was a PR play on behalf of Greg Norman. I am sure that conversations between Greg Norman's people and Tiger Woods' people took place probably at a very, very high level, never to the point of actual contracts being discussed. And so I'm sure round numbers were thrown about. But I don't think there was ever a contract offer. I don't think there's a true number on Tiger Woods, but to the points that both of you made, I mean, in particularly Shallow Cal with the impact on ticket sales and just the ability to lift this league to another stratosphere, Tiger could have named his number. He could have literally said anything he wanted, probably up to $1 billion, and they would have met him at it. And it still may happen. You never know. Hey. I mean, you never know. That's a whole lot of
money. Question. If you were in Tiger's shoes and they offered you $1 billion, do you take it?
No, I can't. My legacy is secure right now as Tiger Woods. He's been the PGA Tour. He took the torch from Arnie and Jack and some of those guys and made it what it is today. He's plenty secure financially. I don't think he'd take the PR hit after what he's dealt with the last 10 years. And I think he's out.
With everything that Tiger Woods has outside of golf, I think this would have been a massive disaster to his reputation in the golf community. And I think that Tiger probably stands to make more money, more than $1 billion, off of the course in the next, you know, 20, 30 years, with his golf course design, resorts, and merchandising, all of it.
Brand in general.
Exactly. His brand in general, him as an entity, will probably gross more than what the LIV Golf could have and would have ponied up.
Yeah. Yep. I think so. And I also think it's sort of convenient that DJ's number reported was $125 million, which I believe roughly equals the career earnings of Tiger Woods on the PGA Tour. So there's certainly some symbolism there, not lost on many. But no, agreed. I mean, you think about that, $125 million just in on-course career earnings. I mean, his brand is far, far beyond that and just risks too much damage associating with this league at this point. All right, very quickly, golf's longest day, 660 golfers, 12 courses, 36 holes, 49 invitations on the line for the Country Club next week in the U.S. Open. Shadow Cal, are we ever going to see you in a sectional qualifier?
No. Not if we don't get this, we can't get this short game under control. It's a disaster right now. But I did see Grayson Murray qualified.
Did he really? He punched a ticket through qualifying?
Yep. Grayson Murray punched a ticket. I
missed that one.
I haven't quite seen the others because I was kind of getting home from golf league tonight, getting the kids to bed, hopping in the shower, getting some podcast sauce and getting my notes pulled up. But I haven't really seen it. I did see Grayson Murray qualified. So congrats to him.
A couple of their names quickly. T-Max boy Bo Hossler made it through today at Springfield. My boy Brian Stewart from Napoleon, Michigan, made it through Springfield as well for the seventh time. He has qualified for the U.S. Open seven times through the Springfield sectional. A few other notable names there. MJ Defoe, Troy Merritt. Pretty good group coming out of Canada. The three tickets punched were Jonas Blix, Callum Tarum, and Satoshi Kodaira. Notable miss, Ricky Fowler. Turned it on his second 18, but too much damage to undo in the morning. Finished one shot out of qualifying.
Did Danny Woodhead get through qualifying?
I don't believe so. I didn't see his name on the list, but I was doing some very quick skimming beforehand.
That would have been nice for all the fantasy football guys out there to have played, Danny Woodhead in both fantasy football and fantasy golf. Now, how crazy would that have been? Yeah, he probably would have had a start on my fantasy roster just just as a narrative spot.
That's some good narrative right there.
Is that why you lose all the time? Because you're filling your roster with narrative spots?
No.
T-Mac, any big hits for you yet out of 2020 Panini Prism Football? I know we've been in a couple breaks together, but you hit anything I haven't seen?
No, nothing you haven't seen. I've only been in the three so far.
Pretty nice weekend for me. I started Friday with a Najee Harris case hit stained glass, wrapped it up with a Kyle Pitts green scope prism out of 75 last night. Very, very solid start to some prison ripping for me.
I'm trying to decide because I just got six people under contract, so a little bit of that's got to go towards the habit. And I can't decide if I want to buy like Prism, if I want to wait for Obsidian to come out, or if I want to wait for Flawless to come out.
So you're thinking about buying a box, not breaks?
I'm thinking about all of the above because I do like a couple of these like pristine breaks where you get a guaranteed spot. Like it's a little bit more expensive, but you know, so that's kind of the stuff I've been thinking about because I do like, I mean, Flawless, you're guaranteed numbered 10 and below. You know, there's some very good high-end card stuff that's going to be coming out here down the pipeline. So I like Prism's cards, though. They're very pretty.
Definitely.
Fucking nerds.
Fine. It's fine. When I hit a $60,000 card one of these days, you can call me a nerd.
It's coming.
And I will. I will call you a nerd.
All right. We got to get to the Canadian Open. Shadow Cal, please do us the honor of reminding the people what we need, where they can go.
You can find us all individually on Twitter at Trevor McElwain, at Sports Guy Ty, and yours truly at Shallow Cal Golf. The Right Click Print Money podcast is also on Twitter at Right Click Picks. You can find our Google spreadsheet there, all of our betting cards, what we're wagering, as well as our P&L plus minus for the year. You can find the Right Click Print Money podcast on Google Podcast, Apple Podcast, Spotify, and Stitcher, published every Monday night, Tuesday morning on the rare occasions. Please download the episode, smash that like button, subscribe, leave us a 5-star review and a little note, and we will read it on the next podcast.
Perfect. As we always do, full tournament and course breakdown of St. George's Golf and Country Club with stats to consider and any weather of note. Jump right into our outright selections up to but not including the triple digits because those are reserved for T-Max lottery tickets. So let's get after it. Little tournament and course preview. For the first time in nearly 3 years, we will contest Canada's national championship, and we're going to do so at St. George's Golf and Country Club. This is the third oldest Open Championship anywhere in the world, only behind the Open Championship and the U.S. Open. Tiger Woods and Lee Trevino, your only two golfers to ever win each of those three championships in the same year. St. George.
I was hoping you were going to ask trivia because I had that right. I had it ready for you.
Yeah, I think Tiger did it in 2000 and Trevino like 76 or something.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Not ask trivia because I would not have gotten that.
St. George's, just outside of Toronto, got the skyline of the six as a backdrop in the distance. Seventh time that one of Canada's best courses will host its national championship, but first since 2010 when Carl Pedersen was your winner. Because we are in a densely populated urban megacity, the Canadian Open is actually utilizing two courses this week, or I should say two clubs. The Islington Golf Club just down the street will act as sort of a staging and practice area for the players, and they'll then be shuttled between the two courses for their tee times over at St. George's. You got the rink returning as a hockey-themed par 3 16th hole. We are in Canada, after all. Boards alongside the hole. 21 Canadians teeing it up this week, looking to break a lengthy drought. The last native son to win was Pat Fletcher in 1954. All right, Shadow Cal, hit us with some course vitals.
I needed those boards today on all of the par threes.
I always need those boards.
Where were you guys? Come on. Stanley Thompson, I think you said that, architect. He's very much in line with what we've been seeing over the past few weeks with Perry Maxwell, likes to use the Earth's natural undulation. We got just a shade over 7,000 yards, par 70. But this is your odd par 70 that has three par fives and five par threes. I practiced that. I knew I was going to mix it up and stumble over it, so I was practicing.
Incredibly impressive. Is it confirmed that it's three par fives and not two? Because I did see some discrepancies early this morning.
I have seen it as three par fives. I've from what I've heard.
Okay.
I have not seen anything officially listed, but if it does go down to only two par fives, that would drop it to a par 69.
Yeah, that's a good point. So it's got to be three.
So I'm not really sure how they would do that. Have we ever had a par 69 on tour?
Not that I'm aware of. Not since we've been doing this, I know.
Yeah, I don't know if they've ever played at that. So yeah, three par fives, five par threes, 10 par fours. Your greens are going to be bent grass, overseeded with poa. And, it's a nice tree lines, Parklands course. The trees aren't on top of you, like you sometimes would think with the tree line course. You do have a little bit of a, I guess buffer would be the best word. A little safety area in between the fairway and when you start getting into those trees. So the rough isn't really superly overly penal. Although with these greens, they are heavily bunkered, heavily protected. It's going to be really important that you hit the. Hi guys. You're hungry.
Me too.
You want some podcast sauce? No. Oh, okay.
He's kidding. He is kidding for everyone that is listening out there.
Do not report him. He is kidding.
Absolutely kidding. Yeah. Why don't you guys go ahead and take it over for me from there?
We will absolutely do it. Let's jump right into stats to consider. T-Mac, that was a pretty damn good breakdown there from Shallow Cal. He hit the high points on fairways, rough greens. What are you looking at this week, T-Mac?
Yeah, I think people that are going to be it's going to be valuable to be accurate off the tee. So I'm looking for a stat that I had not heard of, but I did a little research this week. And I love it. Good drives gained.
Ooh, yeah.
So looking for those guys that are out there that are, you know, good solid drives off the hitting the fairway. And then the second part of good drives gained is that if you don't hit the fairway, be in good enough position in the rough or in the first cut that you can still hit the green. So that's a stat that I learned a little bit about this week. As we mentioned, the greens are a little bit tricky here, so strokes gained approach is going to be another one that I'm considering. And keeping it simple, I'm looking for people that are going to be three-putt avoidance, people that are not going to be three-putting and screwing up that card.
Okay. I'm right there with you on the consideration off the tee. I'm leaning pretty heavily into driving accuracy specifically this week. Tight, short, tree-lined Parklands course. Positional golf is going to be critical to attack those small greens, averaging, I think Shallow Cal said this, right around 4,000 square feet or so. Always difficult rough at St. George's. Going to be fuller and thicker probably this year than it's been in some time. Recent heavy rains in the Toronto area. Course is scorable unless you're wayward off the tee. So very, very important with the driver or other club to put it in the fairway this week. Strokes gained approach every week, every single week. But long irons in particular are going to be key this week as many players, again, elect to go less than driver off the tee. Probably going to be looking at a lot of approach shots somewhere in that 200-ish yard range. So you definitely want to ride some hot irons coming in. And then scrambling for me, honestly, this is pretty similar to my approach last week at Mirfield. We don't have obviously really much of anything to go off of with St. George's in terms of course history. Last time it was contested here was 2010. They completely blew up the place in 2014, started over on the green complexes, major renovation. But it looks, if you squint hard enough, like a similar test to Mirfield in that it's positional golf. The rough is penal, smaller greens. So even the best off the tee and on approach are going to find themselves scrambling at some point this week. And I'm looking for those who do it best out of this rough.
I like it.
I like it a lot.
I like it too. I heard you guys. I just had my microphone on mute, so.
You get everything taken care of? Everybody got a full belly?
Yeah, you know, apple slices and peanut butter. They already had ice cream for their snack, so we got to go a little healthy, something that'll carry them over to morning here for this late night 9:30 p.m. snack. Ooh, boy.
Well, in that case, you better tell us what your stats to consider are before I go make myself a snack.
I loved the good drives gained. Obviously, the approach is crucial here. I'm going to go par five scoring. These par fives are gettable in two by mostly the entire field. You don't have the dramatic dog legs that we saw this week in the breaking up of the fairways that caused a lot of these guys to play a couple of the par fives this past week in three shot par fives. So I'm gonna go par five scoring. If you can score on these par fives, that's gonna be a really big boost. And then par three scoring as well. I think if you can score on the extra, you know, the scoring on the par threes is going to be at an added premium this week just because of they added one with the fifth par three. So we'll go with those for me this week.
Okay. Yep. I can back all of it. T-Mac, I know Toronto has mentioned getting a ton of rain right now. Anything to worry about later this week?
Yeah, it looks like a ton of rain. The only day it doesn't look like it's going to rain is Friday, which would be partly cloudy. But showers on Thursday, showers on Saturday, and AM showers on Sunday. But maybe a little drier out there towards the end.
Yeah, I think that's just going to make that rough thicker, juicier. It's going to be gnarly. You don't want to be wayward off the tee this week. All right, well, it's time to make some picks, fellas. We're going to skip first round leader school this week.
I got two.
I was going to say, you know, back in the winner's circle and you're not going to try and ace another test at school. You know, your call, but yeah. All right, you got a couple.
I got a couple. Let's talk about course history. Well, I guess not course history, but in general, Canadian Open history. Johnny Vegas. He's won this event twice, back-to-back years. Seems to play well in these first rounds. He has the propensity to go out there and put something together. Can he put together four rounds this week? We'll have to see, but hopefully he can put together that one great first round. And then recently, Mr. First Round himself, Sebastian Munoz, both of those guys for actually, we're going to go big, and we're going to go one unit each way for two units total as I'm putting these bets in live as we speak. Both of those guys are at 50-1. So let's bag a big winner on Thursday this week again.
I dig it. You gotta come back to the well after hitting Cam Smith last week. I'm all in. All right, outright selections. I think I'm leading the way here. I am first at the top of the odds board, 15-1. I'm going 3 points with a win only play on your first round leader last week, Shallow Cal, Cam Smith. Tough finish for Cam at the Memorial, as Shadow Cal detailed a bit, kept him out of the places.
Tough. That was tough. That was disastrous.
You want to talk about disastrous? How about Cam Young's final round 84?
Right. Well, that was a little bit worse. But Cam Young didn't start the day T2.
Cam Young started the day like T7 or T6.
True.
Definitely a tough finish for both Cams. I'm not deterred based on his body of work the past 5-ish months or so. His numbers truly have been elite throughout the bag during this run, minus the driver, which, again, normally a concern when you're as bad at hitting fairways as Cam Smith, a place like this. But to be honest, I don't think he's going to use the driver a ton this week. I think we're going to see some fairway medals, a lot of irons off the tee. So I'm not as worried about his biggest flaw for St. George's. Give me his putter on these greens over the field. Approach play has been dialed of late, particularly good his last four tournaments. He's third in this field in strokes gained approach his last 24 rounds. Like his ability to score in par fives, hits plenty of greens. Starting it off for me, 3 points win only, Cam Smith 15-1.
He made a mess of his short game over the weekend this week too. That was very uncharacteristic, and I'm pretty confident that you're not going to see his short game be that sloppy for a long time. That was very uncharacteristic.
Another reason to buy the bounce back, in my opinion.
Yeah.
T-Mac, you're next at 16.
Went with Matthew Fitzpatrick. He ranks second in strokes gained tee to green. I think he's looking like he's going to be one of these guys that's very accurate off the tee. I think he's fourth in this field in that stat to consider that I mentioned. Matt Fitzpatrick. Let's see what he's got.
He should have some good vibes going into Brookline next week. 2013 U.S. Amateur champion at the Country Club, so I kind of like that play.
This tournament is not being held in the United States, so he has a chance to win.
That's right. That's exactly right. Okay, we've each got one play in the 20s, and then we dive deep into the 50s for all three cards. So Shadow Cal, why don't you start us off since we're on the same golfer, and then we'll kick it over to T-Mac.
Strokes gained tee to green. Going to be important on this course. That is a very strong suit for Mr. Corey Connors. And I'm going to save some of the other stats for you, and I'm just going to go into the narrative play here. Canadian hasn't won here since the 1950s. It's a big deal to these dudes, and he's playing the best of all of the Canadians right now. So I think he's got the chops to do it. As bad of a putter as we think, and we always say, oh, Corey Connors can't putt for shit, right? He's actually, if you look at the stats, he's not that bad. And in fact, he's pretty just average putter. So give him a motivational factor, put him on a course that he's probably familiar with, and he's going to be running through the six with his woes. Corey Connors, 20-1.
Yeah, I'm on Corey Connors as well. 2 points, win only for me. Got him a bit longer at 25-1. I'm certainly on the narrative. It's really more a FOMO for me than narrative. I bet Corey Connors a fair amount, and I'm just not sure I could live with myself missing him winning his national championship. But I think he's a good course fit as well. He's playing predictably good and consistent golf coming in. He's made eight of his last nine cuts going back to the Arnold Palmer. Got a pair of top 10 finishes during that stretch at WGC Match Play and Masters. No worse than 35 when he's played the weekend, his last nine outings. It is going to be tough in a tall order to be the first Canadian to win in almost 70 years, but he should have the game for it if he can just be field average with the putter. fourth in greens and regulation this season on tour, eighth off the tee, and 37th on approach. All we need is that putter, Corey. Just one time for me, and I think we're there. All right, T-Mac, no team win on Corey Connors, but you've got another player in a similar range.
Yeah, Tony Finau at 25-1, two units bet, one unit each way. You know, Tony Finau had kind of fallen off for a little while there, but he's been in the top five in his last four starts, and you know, he's known affectionately as Top Five Tony. I think we're going to see a little bit of a tear out of him starting right now. You know, he's seems to be back, so I'm going to hop on that train.
Yeah, another player whose game should suit the course, certainly. We're going to stick with you, T-Mac, as you take us into the 50s with your first play in that range.
Yeah, I went with Captain America, good old Patrick Reed here. You know, he's one of these guys who's maybe due for a good bounce back tournament here. We haven't seen a ton of success from him, but you know, T2 at the Butterfield, T7 at the Charles Schwab. We're starting to see a couple top 10 finishes this year. I think maybe it's time for him to come here, as we've said, the field is very top heavy this week. So I could see him kind of coming through and playing a very good round of golf here. So let's see what this Captain America's got. Let's see if he's got any extra cards up his sleeve to help this week.
Shallow Cal, we're going to go to you for your 50, and you can stick with it for your 55 as well.
Chris Kirk is my 50-1. Comp course history, he's very good here for this course. Obviously, we haven't played this course in a very long time, and I don't know if he's ever played this course at all, but in my model he was in the fifth position. So at 50-1, Chris Kirk, I think he's been playing some good golf lately, been right there, right around the top. 50-1 in this field, I like it. I like it a lot. I like it a lot. The next one that we are going to talk about is Sebastian Munoz. Also been playing some good golf lately. Can score. Very good strokes gained. Tee to green. Just a course sub 7,200 yards, I think, fits his game pretty well. So Sebastian Munoz, 55-1.
Munoz. All right. Well, I'm gonna jump back in because I've got to play 55-1 as well. I debated Sebastian Munoz very hard. Actually, placed a bet on him very, very early this morning at 45-1. Wound up cashing out when I saw better numbers come for equal value, and wound up pivoting. Actually, I went to Keith Mitchell instead, 1 point each way at 55-1. Like both golfers a lot. I didn't see that number really anywhere else on Keith Mitchell, and thought I was still getting some good value there. So that ultimately tipped it. But let me first of all say that this dude has to live one of the all-time great lives. He went to school in one of the all-time great college towns, won a natty at Georgia, lives on St. Simon's Island, and plays golf for a living. I bet his significant other is probably attractive too, if I had to guess. But besides what is obviously some good, clean living for Killa Keith, he is a golfer who's trending a bit right now as well. Made his last three cuts, improved each time from 76th, the Byron Nelson, to 34th at the PGA, and then 18th last week at Jack's Place. Ranks 29th on tour in scrambling this year. In his last 12 rounds, he's fifth in this field. Normally a very good driver of the golf ball, ranks eighth in strokes gained off the tee this season. He is also a great ball striker, much like Corey Connors. Also, like Corey Connors, he could be a hot putter away from winning this thing. So again, I like a little bit of value on Keith Mitchell, 55-1. Shallow Cal, I believe. Oh no, you and T Mac each got an 80. All right. We'll go back to you, Shallow Cal, for your 80, and then T Mac, you can close us out before we get to the final segment.
All right. Yeah. CT Pan, under 72 yards, 7,200 yard, specialist, plays well at short courses. Very good tee to green, accurate driver of the ball. He's been playing, as you would say, really good G lately. 9 of 10 cuts, a few top 20s. He's got three top 10s so far in the 2022 season. He's a guy who will he's a steady, level-headed guy. He's not going to get too wild out there. You know, he's not going to try and smash a drive and it's going to go 320 yards offline. He's a really even keeled guy. Good on par threes, par three scorer, 5 par threes this week. And I believe at 80-1, he is a good value in this field. So CT Pan for me.
My apologies, T-Mac. I didn't see you also had a 66-1. So back to you for a couple of plays before we get to triple digits.
Yeah, I just went with Justin Rose. We haven't seen much out of him. He's only had a few tournaments this year, but just seems like a tournament where he could just come out to shine, especially since the greens will, you know, have a factor in this equation on who's going to win. And he's looking pretty decent in those stats. He's first in the field from putting from 3 feet, third from 6 feet, second from 8 feet. So, I mean, this is a guy that could just shock you. And when was the last time you heard Justin Rose's name at the top of the leaderboard? This is kind of a value pick for me here.
I like it. All right. You finish us out with your 80.
Had to go with Thigala. He's been playing some pretty good golf as of late. We've seen him at the top of the leaderboard. I really liked the number, although I was getting him in the 200s a couple weeks ago. I think 80-1, he has a good chance to hit this top five each way place. So 39th in eagles. He's 54th in driving distance. His driving has been pretty decent. So let's give him a shot.
I like it. And that's going to close us out for the outright selections, sub triple digits. So now we move to long shots only. When you're looking for the big payday, 100-1 or longer, T-Max lottery tickets. But I'm going to take the first play here because I believe I'm shortest in this range along with Shallow Cal. I'm on Brendan Todd, and I took a little bit of a different approach. I did actually go with 3 lottery tickets this week. I kind of went with a couple plays at the top of the board, 1 mid-range, and then a few punts here. Instead of going with the each ways, I went with top 10s on my 3 lottery tickets. So each one of them have a paired top 10. So 1 point, Brendan Todd, 100-1. A number that really surprised me on the first book to post very early this morning. Considerable variance between the books. He opened at 100-1 on DraftKings, remains at that number, despite being 50-1 at BetMGM. So triple digits with his putter. He ranks 6th on tour in strokes gained putting this season. I'm in. Combine that with crazy accuracy off the tee. Ranks 5th in driving accuracy. And you can squint and almost see the type of player we think should perform well here. 3rd last time out at Charles Schwab Challenge. I am feeling Brendan Todd 100-1. Shallow Cal, you got one as well in that general range.
Yeah, this is more of a true T-Mac ticket punt. Let's see if this guy can get hot. One of my Euro Tour guys that I love to bet on when they come over to the PGA Tour. We've seen a couple of them hit and stick, And those are my two, actually, both of my T-Max tickets this week are Euro Tour guys. One of them's played a little bit more on the PGA Tour, but Rasmus Højgaard, I hope I'm saying that right, 100-1. Think that this young man is going to eventually end up full-time on the PGA Tour at some point, probably along with his brother as well. Just a really solid golfer. And for the simple fact that a lot of these guys and a lot of these PGA Tour players haven't played this course competitively before, I think he's got a puncher's chance at this one.
I dig it. Definitely one of my guys, Rasmus Højgaard. We're going to stick with you, Shadow Cow, to close out your card with another former European Tour star, 125.
And this one is really this guy can really play the par fives well this week and stay out of trouble, avoid some mistakes. He's been known to go pretty low. So Matthias Schwab. Let's see what he can do in a little bit of a weaker field. I want to say it's not really weak, but it's very top heavy. You know, you got you're really missing that middle tier. And I think that if you put Matthias Schwab in this field 100 times, he can definitely win a couple of them.
I would agree with that sentiment. Okay, T-Mac, 125 for you.
125 for me at Nick Taylor. I mean, how can I not bet the Canadian wonder at the Canadian Open here? he had a moment of glory last week, and for a second I thought we were going to hit an each-way pick at the very least on this gentleman. But I'm hoping that he has kind of a resurgence from that after kind of falling off. And what we saw last week was just a moment or a glimpse of what we could see this week. So in this tournament, I had to bet him from Winnipeg, Nick Taylor, 125-1.
Yeah, I can't believe I didn't go with Nick Taylor with you. I still may get a small play on him. See if I can pay off that numbered RPA I've got of Mr. Canadian. all right, one play for me in this range. I'm on David Lipsky, 130-1. Guy who models well for me, ranks 14th in the field the last 24 rounds. Pretty good few weeks during that stretch back in late March, early April. Sandwiched three top tens around a missed cut at Texas Open, was sixth at Vidanta for the Mexico Open. Comes in having made three straight cuts, been particularly solid off the tee and with the iron game during the stretch of good G. So again, more of a number plus a model play for me at David Lipsky with the top 10. Okay, T-Mac, back to you to close your card.
Had to go with my boy Austin Smotherman. Again, he's had some very good tournaments this year over at Pebble Beach and at Farmers Insurance, you know, Byron Nelson, AT&T, and Wells Fargo Championship. And we were talking about how important off the tee was this week in total driving efficiency. He ranks first in this field, coincidentally. So let's give our boy Austin a shot at 150-1.
Austin Smotherman, 150-1. All right, well, that leaves just me to close us out. I'm on Matt Wallace this week. 1 point at 300-1, again, with a top 10 added. Just a really strange number to see, particularly when he opened at 80-1 at several books. Rough stretch of golf, definitely, dating back several months, really the last year and a half or so. But more recently, missed 7 of 9 cuts. But then seemed to have found a little something here recently. Tied for 5th, the Dutch Open 2 weeks ago. Followed it up with an 18th place finish, the European Open, last week. Normally a very good putter throughout his career, but it's really failed him some the past year or so. Again, looked like he found something here last 2 weeks, draining a few more of those 10 to 15 footers. Hot putter may be enough here if you're just solid tee to green. Quality field probably puts an outright win out of reach for Wallace. But again, at 300 to 1, the Englishman certainly worth a punt, particularly if you can add a top 10, top 20, top 30 type play with Matt Wallace this week. All right, that's going to do it. A reminder, you can see all of our picks for the Canadian Open by following at Right Click Picks on Twitter. Fellas, each and every week the goal is making paper. Let's get out there and right click print money one time for the masses. Cheers, boys.
Cheers.
Take care, gents.